Jackson down the mighty Mississippi.
We're still waiting for a connect from Jim Searcy. He's calling from the island of Cyprus there in the beautiful Mediterranean Sea, and it's late in the afternoon over there in Cyprus, and we are trying to reconnect with him. We had him on the line, but we appear to have lost him, so we're going to try to reconnect. But in the meantime, let me ask you a question, because I know you're pretty smart. Let me ask you this, since there are primaries being held in 7 states, including the District of Columbia, on any of the candidates that are running, and there are a plethora of them out there, mainly Tea Party Republican and Democrats, all seeking primary endorsements and winning their nomination of their parties. Is there at least one candidate that's running for office that is national today that has raised the constitutional issue regarding the eligibility of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama? And hold on before you answer, because you may want to try to defend these people who have not raised it by saying it's not an issue and it's not something that should be a part of the political dialogue. Then why? There is nothing more fundamental in our nation than the upholding of the U.S. Constitution. And that's what all of these people swear that they are going to do once they are sworn in. They place their hands on the Bible, their grubby little fingers, and then they declare, I will uphold the Constitution. However, the deal is that Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, is not constitutionally eligible, or at least there is a mountain, there's a Himalayan mountain of evidence that demonstrates that he very possibly is not, and it needs to be uncovered, and a cases in court need to be demonstrated that he is not eligible. Do we have Searcy on the line at present? We do. All right, let me stop my dialogue here and get Pastor Minister Jim Searcy. Hello, Brother Searcy.
Hello, Pastor Manning. It's just great to hear your voice, and glad we finally got the technical difficulties resolved.
Good. And I'm glad as well. And I want everybody to know that you're calling from the island of Cyprus, and we may be disconnected again, but I'm praying that God will give us a full time here. We only have a brief couple of moments now, since this is only a 1-hour show, as you very well know. But, Brother Searcy, you and Betty of the Great Joy and Great Tribulation Ministries there in Cyprus, and you've got a tremendous statement of faith of great joy and great tribulation. But what I want to talk to you in the brief moments we have, I want you to tell us about Mormonism, because most Americans have no experience with brushing up against a Mormon church or a Mormon elder. And there's a very popular, charismatic figure in American politics today named Glenn Beck, who is a Mormon, and he's proud to be so, and he announces it every opportunity he gets. And many Christians feel that they are safe in the hands of a Mormon. Could you elaborate on that for just a moment?
Yes, I could. This nation here was a target for the Mormons, and they were everywhere when we got here about a month before 9/11, and they just don't show up anymore. By the
Mormons,
grace
though,
and power of God, they've pretty much been run out of here, and I give God the praise and the glory for that. Let me tell you about some features of a prophet of God. Now listen, this guy claimed to be a prophet of God, okay?
He was visited
by an angel. He was given visions. He was told that no true religion existed on earth. He was sent to restore the long-lost faith in the one true religion. His writings and his teachings produced a book that he claimed was inspired by God.
You're talking about the Book of Mormons and Joseph Smith, is that right?
I just want to tell you about this prophet, because there's a real shocking punchline at the bottom of it.
Okay, all right, I'm listening. I don't want to interrupt again.
That's okay. He claimed to be illiterate and uneducated, and he used this as proof that the book that he produced was inspired by God. And he claimed his new holy book was the most correct and perfect book on earth. And he claimed to be the final prophet of God, and he claimed he was persecuted because of his pure faith, and he was a polygamist, and he said that was mandatory, and he had many wives.
Now, I promise not to interrupt you, but it sounds like you're talking about the prophet Muhammad of the Islamic faith. But go ahead.
Well, I'm talking about Satan's mojo prophets. That's what I call them, because This description I'm giving you right now, Pastor Manning, fits both Joseph Smith, the Joe prophet, and it fits Muhammad precisely.
It certainly does.
I can add a little bit more to it, but it is a summary. That's why I call them Satan's mojo prophets, because Muhammad and Joseph Smith are walking arm in arm in the everlasting burnings of hell.
And now I get the word mojo, Muhammad M-O and J-O for Joseph. Now I get it.
Yeah, this is Satan's mojo prophets. This is a perfect M-O for both of them. Absolutely fits both of them perfectly. So if you don't have anything or any time to say anything to the Mormon, just tell them Joseph Smith's walking in the everlasting burnings with Muhammad. And if you don't have any time to tell anything more to the Muslim, just tell him Muhammad's walking in the fires of hell with Joseph Smith.
Well, now,
Satan,
let me ask you a question.
Mojo prophets.
Let me ask you a question, since, I mean, you put those two together. And when you first began, I said, you're describing the prophet Muhammad, because that was his bio and when he started the Islamic faith. Now we see an insurgency of Islam in America like you won't believe, and Glenn Beck has lifted Mormonism to a height where a number of people feel very safe with it. It is a growing religion, and probably people are joining the Mormon church.
Well, Mormonism is the Islam of America. That's what
Mormonism
it is. And a guy
is
wrote a book by that title, and it is not Christian. They use a lot of Christian terms, but they have different meanings, like the Mormons' idea of hell is to be eternally bound to this planet Earth so that their progression toward godhood, where they could be a god over their own planet like Jesus is god of this Earth and have many celestial wives and have them all eternally pregnant forever and ever producing spirit babies, they bought the lie. Joseph Smith bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker, as you shall be as gods. That's what Mormons believe, and they are notorious liars. Glenn Beck is a great liar, just like Obama.
He is charismatic
and a great liar.
He is that.
And he has accomplished single-handedly in the last few years more than all the rest of the Mormon church put together has accomplished in the last 200 years in getting people to believe somehow that the Mormon church is Christian. But it's no more Christian than Islam.
Well, you know, on that Islam mojo connection now, and I really, really like that. You have opened my eyes to something here now that is quite profound, because I know the genesis of Joseph Smith and I know the genesis of Muhammad. But now here's something else that just sparked in my mind. You know, two of the largest rallies held in Washington, D.C. over the last decade and a half have been led by a, if you would, bastardized version of Islam with Louis Farrakhan and of course, Glenn Beck. And these are two spiritual leaders who have outdistanced any other march or assembly in Washington in the last, except for the presidential election. So I'm really learning
something. The spirits of Lucifer, Satan, the devil that is causing this, brother, that's the spiritual dynamic.
I mean, when I saw black men, Catholic men, Jehovah's Witness men, Methodist, Baptist men going down to Washington to hear from Louis Farrakhan, who is an alleged Muslim, I couldn't understand then, and that's over 15 years ago, why they were submitting themselves to hear a word from God through a person who does not believe that Jesus is Lord. But they went, and they took their churches, and they took their children. Men took their boys to Washington to hear Louis Farrakhan. Then,
are the spirits of Satan, which causes it. Causes the strong delusion and deception, and causes people to follow after such untrustworthy men.
Well, the same thing happened with Glenn Beck. And I'm sitting here thinking, now, what on earth is going on? But that's why I wanted you to tell us today about Mormonism. Now, Mormons don't preach the cross. What's their...
No.
How do you get saved in the Mormon church?
Well, you get saved by going through the rituals in the temple. and you've got to have your holy underwear. You've got to learn your four secret handshakes. You see, Joseph Smith was too weird for the Masons, and the Masons kicked Joseph Smith out. And so he took those Masonic rituals into the temple. Now, the Mormons believe that Lucifer is the spirit brother of Jesus Christ.
That is grotesque. I mean, that is...
It is really grotesque. It is so blasphemous that it's pathetic. But so is Islam. Islam contains the highest core satanic, the high-level satanic lie that is central. You know, there's different levels in Satanism. And the high-level satanic lie is that Jesus Christ didn't really die on that cross and was not resurrected. And there's nothing more well-founded in all of history than the fact of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We only have a few minutes left in this hour, Brother Searcy. You said you've written a book about Mormonism, the New Islam, and America. Is that the title of that book?
Well, no, I was quoting a very worthwhile book that people can read online by a fellow by the name of Bruce Kenney. And that's actually what I was quoting in some of those parallels. But the parallels are real. That's why I call them Satan's mojo prophets. I was almost getting ready to write an open letter to Glenn Beck, because he not only has done what 200 years of all the Mormons put together couldn't do, in terms of getting people to believe that the Mormon Church is Christian, he not only has accomplished that, but he is the man in the media singly most responsible for Obama still being in the White House and not in the jailhouse where he belongs.
Would you please say that again? Would you please say that again?
Well, Glenn Beck is the man in the mainstream media who is singly most responsible for Barack Hussein Obama still being in the White House and not being in the jailhouse where he belongs. And nobody knows that better than you do.
I do. I mean, I understand it clearly. I just wanted the listeners and the American people to hear that from your voice so that they can understand it. There is no way under
God's blue sky and on God's green earth that Glenn Beck could say he doesn't know about that trial of the century that you prosecuted. There was no way he could say that.
You're right about that. Now, Brother Searcy, would you give out the information? I know that your website is moresureword.com, where people can...
Right. It is a huge, huge website.
Yes, it is.
And
it is.
When we come back after the break, if we have time, it might be good to go through a contrast.
Well, we're not going to have time after the break, because this break will take us right up. Our next break will take us right up to just a few minutes afterwards. Maybe I could try to squeeze a few things in, but I want to make sure that I got you on the line. We're not disconnected. Please tell people how they can contact you. You have been such a support and a help to Outlaw Ministries, the value of which cannot be estimated. I want other people to be exposed to what you're doing and your website. So give that information out now, and we'll talk a little bit more after the break.
Okay. Well, the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website is simple. It's just www.moresureword.com. Moresureword.com. And it is huge. I hope people will look at it and bookmark it, because it is so huge. And any of the topics that most pastors don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, you'll find answers there based upon the More Sure Word of the King Jesus Version, the KJV Holy Bible, the God promised perfect one. And I make no apologies for that. If there's one thing I've studied in my life, it's why that Bible is the one that God promised would be perfect, purified seven times by His Holy Spirit.
Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the American people seem to amass in great numbers always behind the wrong person? I mean, they never seem to choose the right one. They always choose the wrong person. Now, I understand the power of deceit and lies, but you would think, you know, after 100 years or so of this, or a couple of thousand years of always choosing the wrong one, that people would wake up now and recognize that Glenn Beck is just well, he's just another Obama in disguise. I mean, I couldn't figure out why people were following Obama. Now it's Glenn Beck. Why do you think people make those choices and they're always wrong?
I think America has lost its ability as a people to do critical thinking because they have left off reading the more sure word of God. They have left off reading the word of God, and therefore,
is it that
the
or
renewing of the mind that
is
comes
it that by, or have the preachers in the church left off preaching the word of God unapologetically?
Well, that's true too. You know, the young men go off to seminary, and you're an example. I mean, you're a living example of it. You went to Union Theological, and I believe you and Dietrich Bonhoeffer were the only two that ever came out there and still had faith.
Amen. Hallelujah goes right there. But go ahead.
You know, and this is what happens. If they come into seminary having faith, the Jesuits, as a founding goal, they promised that they were out to subvert the Erasmus text, to destroy the Word of God. Well, they can't do that, but they can add to it or take away from it. We now have 200 versions of so-called things called Bibles, and they don't say the same thing. I mean, if you've got two books on the table, both of which say Holy Bible on the cover, and they don't say the same thing, the only thing you know for sure is both of them cannot be Holy Bibles.
Got
now, we've
right.
got 200 Bibles, and the Jesuits are behind us. They also promised that they would infiltrate the seminaries. Now, the Jesuits put Muhammad in the religion business. You say, well, how could that happen? Loyola didn't come on the scene until the 16th century, and Muhammad came on the scene in the 7th century. Well, the fact is, Vatican
Brother Searcy, Rome. Brother Searcy, we have to take a break. Please hold on. Hold that line tightly. We'll have just 2 minutes at the close of this broadcast for you to give us some more information. But please hold on. Let's pay some taxes. I'll be right back with more of Brother Jim Searcy. And he's going to be with us again today on the Manning Report at Otla Media Network at the bottom of the first hour of the Manning Report, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please be logged on for that as well. Brother Searcy, I've read a large number of your writings, and I've witnessed a large number of your DVDs and promotional materials, or at least teaching materials, that you have put out over the last years. And I would go ahead and call you, I know you probably would be a little bashful to hear this, a scholar on the book of Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, and the book of Daniel, and those prophetic books in particular. While I think you will be a scholar on any of the books of the Bible, but those books in particular, which perhaps are a little bit more difficult, simply because they are the revelation books that will guide us handily through the times where we presently are, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. So where are we now? Where are we, according to your scholarly observation of the great prophet Ezekiel, Daniel, and John the Revelator?
I believe we're in the Antichrist war on the saints now, as we speak. A 42-month war. I hope I'm wrong about it. I rejoice at every day that God continues to restrain Satan. But I believe we're that far. And the reason I believe that is a certain portion of Daniel had to be sealed up until the time of the end. Daniel sought the Lord 3 times, and finally the Lord rebuked him, said, Daniel, go thy way, you'll stand with your people in the end of days. This must be sealed up until the time of the end, so that at the time of the end, when people recognize that these seals have come off of Daniel 8, they will know we're in the time of the end. And you look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said there was one thing and one thing only that was specific that you could put your finger on and say, this is going to happen on a given specific day in history. We know the signs, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places.
Yes.
But
yes.
He said in Matthew 24:15, he said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let him that reads understand. We can read it. And when you do and you see in Daniel 9:27 what it says, we know the Antichrist is going to be the one that stops that oblation altar. The big problem, you're the only man that ever mentioned the word oblation And people don't understand that oblation altar. We must be like the apostles who risked their lives twice a day. You could threaten them, beat them, lock them up, and an angel would blow the doors off, and they'd be in that temple next day for showing respect to that altar where God Almighty has chosen to place his name. That altar has nothing to do with blood. There'll never be any blood of bulls and goats on it. It has nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with the finished work of Messiah. But it has everything to do with saying that the Lord Jesus Christ owns the fullness of this earth because he created it and he redeemed it.
I got to go. Want to let everybody know you're going to be with us again at the on the Manning Report today at the 3:30 hour Eastern Standard Time from Cyprus, as you are at present. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Our time is gone for this hour. Your website is moresureword.com. Oh, that's all one word. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation Ministries, and people can find out more about the great work that you're doing, the prophecies that you have interpreted, the scholarly approach of the Bible. I think they'll stay there for days and days and days at your website. Thank you so very much for being with us. I look forward to talking to you a little bit later on. Don't forget, everybody, Outlaw Worship Celebration starts tonight. We're going to be trying to clean this community of all the evil spirits, the racial spirits, NAACP spirits, the Black Panthers rap music, and we're going to be looking at the massive health problems that are affecting the people. I got to go. Vaya con Dios. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. May the peace of Almighty God, which passeth all understanding, preside over all your prayer concerns, your family, and your financial matters. May this same peace watch over your down sitting and your uprising. And until we meet again, my brothers and my sisters, if you haven't said boom shakalaka, say it now, and then peace out. Welcome to the Manning Report. I am James David Manning, broadcasting from the great metropolis of New York City. Our studio is located in the community known as Outlaw, and Outlaw is the new name for the community formerly known as Harlem. We've got New York primary day, and a number of people are back out enjoying the last few days of what was a grand and glorious, and not too hot, by the way, summer. I am New York's voice of politics, religion, and power. That's right, so get used to it. But now, we've got an extremely interesting broadcast today. All of our broadcasts are interesting, but this one is extremely interesting. We've got to add that adjective in order that we might clearly identify ourselves and that we'll be have full disclosure. That's what's on the rundown today. First of all, we're going to have Jim Searcy from the island of Cyprus of Threes will be with us at the bottom of the hour. And he's got some interesting things that he's going to say that you're going to listen to. We interviewed him earlier today when we were on the Manning Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Powerful interview, just extremely interesting. And, of course, we're going to be looking at what's happening in the primaries all over in seven states and the District of Columbia holding primaries today, including the state of Massachusetts, Delaware, and New York, to name a few. Minnesota is to name another. We've got to try to determine what's happening while the Tea Party. This will be a test of the Tea Party's muscle to see how these events, and I'll be here giving my prognostications. Well, that's what these other jerks do. I'll be giving my prophecy about what's going to happen in our nation and in our world and how it will affect the kingdom of God and also the kingdom of hell in the event you're going to be a future resident of that particular domain. Nonetheless, I got a number of things that we definitely must talk about today and tomorrow probably will be consumed. And Outlaw Celebration starts tonight at 7:30. That's right. Several things we're going to accomplish today. We want to do a clean sweep tonight of sicknesses, disease, and ill spirits. We really want to help people have a healthier life, but you need that in order to be productive in terms of the property ownership, business development, school development, that kind of a thing. But also, we want to sweep the community, and a major emphasis tonight is going to be placed on sweeping the community of the ill spirits of racism, Black nationalism, Black Pantherism, NAACP-ism, you know, Black culturism. All of those are just spirits, and all Black spirits. They're all Black spirits. So we're going to be sweeping, preaching and sweeping, and tonight, the sweeping the community of all those spirits so that the spirit of righteousness can have a comfortable dwelling place here in the community known as Outlaw. Got to take a break, pay some taxes. After I do, I'll be right back. So remind you, you've been warned. All right, we are back. I'm delighted that you've logged on today. I want to say a special, give a shout out to all my friends from the Homeland Security and from the CIA, and special words of welcome to Janet Napolitano and Leon Panetta, and of course the long-legged Mac Daddy and Eric Holder. You have my regards and in my sincere prayers that things are as worse for you as they can possibly get at this day, and tomorrow they'll be a million times worse than they are today. Now, having said that, so we've got seven primaries, and everybody has been talking about what's going to happen on the November election, that there is this campaign going forward that the Republicans will retake the House and very possibly the Senate. I'm not so sure that's going to take place. I think they've greatly underestimated the strength of Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, as they always have. And I cannot even rest assured now that there's not a lot of phony baloney going on with respect to Republicans talking a good game, but not really meaning one. And the other item is that the only reason why they are talking about taking back the House and the Senate is because of the insurgence of the Tea Party group. But I've been telling you now for the last couple of days, the Tea Party is not what they are crocked up to be. They are indeed the Republicans in drag, and they are not dealing with the issues that initially should have brought them to life. We'll talk more about that. But what I want to raise now as an issue before you, and we're going to be talking about this over the next week, every day, what will happen if the Tea Party takes the House, and these are my prophecies. If that word frightens you, just say, all right, okay, I'll listen to him nonetheless. But if the Tea Party and the Republicans do indeed take back the House, then death to Christianity will be delayed by 18 months. Now, if the Tea Party and the Republicans take back the House, death to America as we know it will only take another 24 months at the 2012 election. That's if they take the House and very possibly the Senate. If the Tea Party members and the Republicans fail, and Obama and the Democrats hold on to the House and hold on to the Senate, then death will happen to Christianity in a period of 9 months, and death will happen to America within a period of 12 months. We will not know Christianity, nor will we know America as we understood it going back a decade ago. So I'm giving America at the outset 24 months to exist, no matter what happens in the primary elections on November. And I'm sure you've been able to calculate that quickly. That's how grave the situation is that we as Americans are facing. And I think it's important for you to understand that and not reject it. Now, those of you who have put your hopes, put your dreams, the future of your children, the future of your income and your health in the salvation group called the Tea Party, you are greatly misled. You would be better off putting your hopes in the Kool-Aid that Jim Jones served his parishioners than you will in the Tea Party. Death is going to happen. Only death will happen quicker to those of you who have been duped, and because of your position, and you know, it isn't racism that you were suffering from, but it was a shock to your system that America would elect a person as anti-unpatriotic, unchristian, and unorthodox to American politics as Barack Hussein Obama. And it wasn't necessarily his skin color. And then to go on and to worship and slurp and slop at the feet of this maniacal emissary of the devil put a ton of Americans, millions of Americans, in a psychological stupor of which they don't realize that they're in. It's kind of like the Stockholm Syndrome that most Americans who are now part of the Tea Party and the Glenn Beck activities are in, but they cannot diagnose their own psychological stupor. And they are now being led by a spirit, an idea that's worse than Obama. and that is the Tea Party and Glenn Beck. Now, please listen to me. Please listen to what I am saying and try to get delivered from putting your hopes in the Tea Party to save either Christianity or America. It isn't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen under no circumstance. And even if you do take the House and the Senate, which is highly unlikely but possible, you still will not. You'll only extend the life of you, your family, your children, and this great nation to the length of 24 months max. And after that, the Mexicans and the Muslims are going to invade this nation, or they have thusly already invaded this nation. The politics, the media, the Islamic power and influence, the destruction of the Constitution, and the effect of the $13 trillion debt and the lingering recession with over 30 million people unemployed. And as Austin Goolsbee said the other day, there's going to be a long time for any of those people to go back to work. America will die of death of a thousand pinpoints. It will. It just will. The Tea Party cannot save anything or anybody. And do I have a remedy? I do. I'm not going to announce it at this moment. You'll have to come back for more. But you can go ahead and dismiss what I'm saying. Remember how when you first heard of me, James David Manning, talking about Obama is a Mac Daddy. Obama pimps black women and white women. Remember that? Remember? And remember the visceral reaction that people had to that. Who is that loudmouth preacher? Who is he out of Harlem? And all of that. And he's a racist, and he's an Uncle Tom, and all of that. But I had a word in my mouth. Oh, yes, I did. I got one even more powerful than the word I had about Obama and what he would do to this nation if he became president. My brothers and my sisters, we're looking at 24 months, and America will be no more, and there will be no resurrection of this nation. If we don't stop it now, there will be no stopping nor resurrection of this nation, and Obama will go on to global world dominance. He will go on and become indeed the most feared spirit of the dragon and the beast that Revelation has ever made mention of. And the abomination of desolation will indeed take hold in ways in which the church and the Holy Spirit will have to find a place of refuge. I'm telling you. Now, you say, well, you know, we're the Tea Party. What a crock. First of all, can I say this to you, and I promise not to inflict myself upon you any further. When you look at the liberal media, and do you think that those people who are for gay marriages and for Islamic tolerance and for Obama, do you have a slight suspicion that they are psychologically are sick or there's something wrong with them? Sure you do. Well, I want to say to you, when you look to the political ideologies and your icons like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, you are sick, too, thinking that the Tea Party is somehow or another going to be your saving grace. It is sickness. It is madness that both of you have come down with, are suffering from. My friends, America is in a terrible state of affairs with only 24 months to live. Now, again, remember how you said I was wrong about Obama when I first came on the scene 2 years ago. You first heard of me. Unless we take immediate military actions in this nation politically, America only has 24 months to live at the outset. And unless you take the bitter pill of being exercised from the satanic attractions of the Tea Party, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, unless you do it, my friends, you will die with America, and there will be no future for your children. I'm James David Manning. You can discard, you can scoff, you can laugh, you can sneer, and you can turn on that lying, snivering Nazi idiot Glenn Beck, or you can turn on that hustler Rush Limbaugh, or any of the others, or you can go the other way. You know, listen, whether it's the liberal media or the so-called conservative media, they all are a bunch of snakes leading you down the primrose path of hell. That's all that it is. And the Tea Party is nothing but the Republican Party in drags, trying to readdress itself so that they can stand against the power of the Democratic Party, the black vote, and the runaway desire to socially engineer this nation. I'm James David Manning again. I'm telling you. I'm going to be talking about this all this week. I'm just getting started. There's more to come. There is. Let me inform you again that Jim Searcy is going to be with us a little bit later on today at the bottom of the hour. He will be with us. And we're going to be talking about Glenn Beck in particular and Mormonism specifically. And so if you don't know what Mormonism is, there are several spirits, and if Jim Searcy has enough time, we're going to try to deal with Sharia, because you've heard the word, but you may not know exactly what it means. Sharia law and Mormonism. Now, these are two very powerful spiritual entities that are in our nation right now, and they're declaring they're not going to move. All right, anyway, I've got to pay some taxes. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
You're listening to The Manning Report with Dr. James David Manning.
All we have left is the Constitution. Now, with the Constitution, just like with the Jews, when they held on to the Torah, when they held on to the Ark of the Covenant, they could always reestablish the land. But we are visitors in our own land. The moral, the integral, the Judeo-Christian, the Constitution-loving, the God-abiding people. We are visitors in our own land because we've lost America. All we have is the Constitution.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi.
All right, my friends, we are back. I want to inform you, and I want you to be made well aware of the fact that there are two very powerful political, religious entities that sweeping across our nation right now that you had 24 months ago, you had no idea of their existence. 24 months hence, you'll have no further connect with the existence of either Christianity or the Republic democracy or the Republic of this nation. And those two entities are Sharia law and Mormonism. 24 months ago, you had no idea what they were or their importance. They have become the mega force, the driving, attention-getting spirit in our nation at present. The Sharia law led by Barack Hussein Obama as its head, although he is a closet, if you will, leader of Islam, and Mormonism led by Glenn Beck. Both of these entities are religious, political, military entities that is sweeping our nation, and they only need at least another 9 months of a free run of Americans being in the stupor that they're in at present, psychologically depressed, and just have kind of thrown up their hands in a depressant stupor, and in 9 months to a year, America will be no more. Now, you can sweep these statements under the rug and ignore them and call me an alarmist if you will. But you certainly will not be doing that 2 years from now if you are not shipped off to do goat herding in Afghanistan or to do farming work or some other kind of work in Sudan or in some African nation. And even though you are white, Muslims will send you to Africa to do work or send you to the Saudi Arabian states and will populate the major cities of America with Muslims who will then enjoy all of what you now enjoy as the great commercial enterprise called America. It's coming, my brothers and my sisters. And you're being led down the primrose path by people like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, of course the long-legged Mac Daddy, and a host of others that have allowed you to think that somehow or another you're going to save this nation. I'm James David Manning. You can dismiss my statements if you will, but you do so at the peril and the death of you and your children and this great nation. And 48 months from now, you can find yourself working on a field in South America under some of the South American dictators, or you can find yourself in Cuba, or find yourself in Africa having this, your home foreclosed, your job shut down, and you have been shipped off to a nation, and this nation has been repopulated by Mexicans and Muslims and others. Again, you'd better listen, and you'd better listen now. We can stop this, but we must unite.
10 solid years, Honorable Manning has walked this community from river to river. He has walked the length and the breadth of this community and prayed over every apartment, every tenement building, and every street. Whether it was a rainy, stormy day or a huge snowstorm, he was not deterred. And as a result, this land is blessed. Otlaw is built on God's word and principles. It's been built on a strong foundation. And whatever you build on this land will surely prosper. If you will come under the teaching and leadership of the Honorable James David Manning and follow him as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will never beg bread and you will never be defeated.
All right, welcome back to the Manning Report. We are delighted you have logged on. And, of course, we've also delighted to have on the line now Jim Searcy calling in from the Mediterranean island of Cyprus, Great Joy and Great Tribulation Ministries. And he was with us earlier today on the Republic Broadcasting Network and just gave us a truckload of information. A great biblical scholar. Brother Searcy, are you there?
Yes. And Pastor Manning, I don't know how it could be said any better than what you said it. It is that reality, and that's the way Jeremiah would say it. You know, I couldn't help but think in my mind as you were telling how it really is, how Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel would have told the people straight. There's no ambiguity in the message. You just laid it out as clear. I don't know how it could be done any better. I'm not trying to blow smoke at you. You know better than that, I think. But that was fantastic. I hope people had ears to hear. I hope they recorded it. I hope they'll listen to it three or four times because they need to hear it. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And his blood.
Absolutely.
And you recognize the spiritual dynamic which is driving everything unfolding in the physical. And you have cause to celebrate it, Atlaw. You really do. And how you are beginning with the binding of the spirits and getting these spirits out of the way of the people and the area. Most people don't understand what we're talking about, and that's a sad testimony to how faithless we have become as a people. But did you find it interesting today about Satan's mojo prophets, how
I have been in background? I have been rejoicing in my spirit for that revelation, for the power of what you have said, and it is out of that well, it is out of that ground, that mojo fertile ground that you spoke today, that you revealed to the world today, that has allowed me to confirm and speak boldly as I spoke over the past half an hour. I need to let you know that. It was out of that mojo revelation that came forward.
Well, I could hear that spirit,
yes,
of Messiah having quickened that in you, and I don't,
yes,
know how you could have expressed it any better than what you did. I just hope people will have ears to hear what you said. Because if anybody has ever wondered how that Jeremiah might have spoken to the crowd, they just heard it. They just heard it.
Brother Searcy, I'll say this, but I want you to get on some other things. I want to hear you today. People already know what I say, but I want to hear you, and I want the people to hear you. But let me say this. I spent 2 solid years on a Friday night teaching our church out of the book of Jeremiah. And we took chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We did not omit one verse nor one chapter. And it took us 2 years doing it week by week. And, of course, some weeks I was away and couldn't get it done, as you would understand. And now I am teaching in the book of Ezekiel. We're up to chapter 28, and we've been in that book now for about a year as well. And that book has drenched our congregation in the power of the Word of God, understanding the law of God, understanding the Spirit of God, in ways in which I think if anybody did that, they would realize, they would see clearly where our world is at present. And so I just want to say that. And tonight I'm going to stand up in our church, and I'm asking for prayer from you, if you, I'm sure you will, and others.
We'll
and
join
it,
you.
I will curse every black spirit, every spirit that has infested, every black cloud that has hung over the people and that has oppressed and has demonized. I'm going to be standing up tonight cursing and binding those spirits.
It is always right to bind those spirits and plead the power and victory of the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
But Brother Searcy, what I want to talk to you today, and we have an hour here today. We have, well, at least we have this segment and the next segment coming up, and we'll have to take a couple of breaks, news breaks. But I want to talk about this Mormonism spirit that has now come, and the mojo that you made mention of. Now, there are people listening now that were not listening this morning. And if you could take the time, and I'll just give you...
Let's go through that.
Yeah, please.
Let's go through that.
Yeah, let's do that.
We're talking about Satan's mojo prophets. There was a prophet of God with a big question mark. Now, I want you to think as I go through these, who is this so-called prophet of God? He was visited by an angel. He was given visions. He was told that no true religion existed on earth. He was sent to restore the long-lost faith of the one true religion. His writings and his teachings produced a book that he claimed his followers believe was inspired by God. He claimed to be illiterate and uneducated and used this as proof that the book was inspired by God. He claimed the Bible was lost, altered, corrupted, and unreliable. He claimed his new holy book was the most correct, perfect book on earth. He claimed to be the final prophet of God. He claimed he was persecuted because of his pure faith. He was a polygamist and said that was mandatory to practice polygamy and had many wives. He said he would lead his followers to have nothing to do with and fight against paganism and polytheism. And immediately after his death, war broke out among his followers over who would succeed him. I hope people can understand that this short list fits perfectly, absolutely, explicitly fits perfectly both Muhammad and Joseph Smith.
Absolutely.
That's why I call Muhammad and Joseph Smith Satan's mojo prophets. They're like two peas in a pod, both walking in the everlasting burnings of hell. And what is our duty as Christians? See, as Christians, we have a duty to try to open their eyes and turn them from the power of darkness and from the power of Satan unto God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified by the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our duty. If we claim to be Christians, that is love, and that is our duty.
Well, you know, both of these lying sons of Satan, prophets of Muhammad and Joseph Smith, and of course, you know, the Mojo acronym comes from Muhammad's first name starts with M O, and Joseph Smith's first name starts with J O. So you put them together, you got Mojo. Both of these prophets,
Satan's mojo,
and both of these prophets have written what they claim to be a new Bible, a correct Bible, and they claim themselves to be the last prophet, the true prophet of God, and they have perverted. They both taught polygamy as a command, both Muhammad, the prophet, the alleged prophet of Islam, and Joseph Smith, the prophet of Mormonism. They both, I think if people know anything about Mormonism, they know it was heavily involved in polygamy, and they've taken it underground now because of public outcry here in America against it. But that's where they are. Now, these two prophets, they both have their own book, the Book of the Mormon, and then there is the Quran. Is that right, Brother?
That's right. The Mormons will carry a KJV Holy Bible to get their foot in the door, but what they're selling is the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, they do.
There is not one shred of historical, linguistic, archaeological, or, my goodness, the DNA evidence totally nukes the Book of Mormon.
Well, I would say this, that the Islam has made its footprint in America an indelible footprint. It seems to me reverse thinking. I would have thought after 9/11 that a Muslim would not be able to show his face in America because of what was initially thought to have happened at 9/11. But the opposite has taken place. They have become more popular. The media have promoted their religion, and that we should tolerate it, and more specifically, that it is indeed a peaceful way of life. Now we have, with the advent, as you stated this morning, and I pray you'll elaborate on again, that Glenn Beck has single-handedly done perhaps what Brigham Young and Joseph Smith perhaps wanted to do, but were unable
to. For 200 years, all the Mormons have wanted to do what Glenn Beck has single-handedly accomplished.
And this is incredible.
Glenn Beck has single-handedly accomplished the idea in many, many people who think they're Christians, the idea that Mormons are somehow Christians. And you could not be, Muslims are more Christian. They're polytheists. Every Mormon believes that he's going to become a god like Jesus with his own planet to rule over. If that isn't polytheism, Hinduism doesn't have half that many gods.
Brother Searcy, I got to take a break. And as soon as I do, it'll be a 3 minutes. We'll be right back with more of Brother Jim Searcy and his teaching on Sharia law and Mormonism. All right, we are back here at the Manning Report with our very special guest, Brother Jim Searcy, and he's talking to us today by phone from the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Sea. And Brother Searcy, I have a question, and then, of course, I'm going to let you continue to teach us about prophecy, Ezekiel prophecy, Daniel prophecy, John the Revelator, and the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his precious blood. But the question I have is going in a different direction, and that is, I don't know when you ever plan to be back stateside. I have no idea. I see our nation in a terrible state of affairs with the political fervor that is leading people further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has crumbled. It's no longer a major witness. I believe the blood still has, in fact, I know the blood still's got its power, but the people have lost their ability to lift up the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
What I want to ask you and ask our listeners, if you will tell us when you would ever possibly be back stateside here, we want the listeners to get together and bring you here and let you teach for a week so that the nation can get strengthened again. We need people who know the power of the Word of God, the power of prophecy, back teaching again, and you know, I'm just led by the Lord to ask you that. I don't know what your decision would be about that, but I'm sure the listeners would join with me to bring you here that we might be able to hear God's word. You can answer that when you're ready. Let's go back to what we were talking about.
That's a powerful, powerful, powerful question in the middle of these days of awe in this year 2010, brother. I believe, I know personally now how Dietrich Bonhoeffer felt when he was in America.
Yes.
With what was going on in Nazi Germany. I know how he felt. And I can't answer that because when we were sent here a month before 9/11, and I was on record on different radio broadcasts where people pressed me to give a date when this horrible, horrible event was to take place to change history, because I had been talking about it for a long time, and finally they pressed me to the wall, and on two different radio broadcasts, it's a matter of record, I said, it'll be on September 11th. That just came right out.
Praise
Do you know,
God. Praise
in 1857,
God.
On September 11th, 9/11, there was hundreds of American Christians slaughtered on that same day?
I didn't
by
know
Joseph
that.
Smith and his gang, yes. But Islam and what the Quran really teaches, I think we should make people aware. I've heard you say this a number of times, and this is so profound. Everybody knows that Allah is not God. Everybody knows
That's
that
right.
Allah is not
That's,
God.
That's right.
With the Muslims, you can say pretty much almost what you want about Allah. Allah is Satan. That is the truth of Islam. And every Muslim knows that in their heart of hearts. they're reachable with the gospel, and not only are they reachable with the gospel, Jesus said, I would you were cold or hot. These people have got to count the cost, because immediately they go from nowhere on the totem pole to the absolute top of the totem pole if they forsake Islam to embrace the gospel.
That's right.
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are immediately a billion people that have a religious duty to kill them. And they must count the cost. Now, reaching Mormons, someone who is so vain and so proud, like Glenn Beck, to think he's going to be a god like Jesus with his own planet to rule over, I don't know how you reach a nut like that. But let me give you some recent history. I'm talking March of this year. You may or may not have heard this. Stop me if you don't want me to go here. It's going to take a minute or two, but I think this
is a really
good perspective.
We got 7 minutes.
It was in the early hours of the 7th of March of this year when armed Faluni Muslims killed up to 500 villagers in Plateau State, Nigeria. The Christians were killed just because they were not Muslims. The Christians were mostly women and children who were defenseless and unprotected. The attackers were Muslims who were religiously following the teachings of the Allah God of Islam, who is Lucifer, Satan, the devil, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The Muslim attackers believed the teaching of the satanic Quran, which teaches that Christians and all non-Muslim people do not deserve to live, and the Muslim religion's duty is to kill or enslave them. And yes, indeed, that is what must be done according to the teaching of the Quran. And the heavily armed Muslims hacked down those Christian women as they tried to cover up and protect their children with their bodies. And the little babies were taken from their mothers and thrown into this large fire that the Muslim attackers had set. I'm talking this year. This is still current news. And Christians in three villages were shot and butchered by Muslims in cold blood about 3 a.m. on Sunday morning of March 7th of this year. The Muslims were doing what their satanic religion duty requires. Muslim duty, according to the Quran, is to kill Christians and all non-Muslims simply because they're not Muslims.
That's right.
The Muslim religion requires to be killed or enslaved. And we're supposed to respect that. We're supposed to tolerate that. This is Satan's largest in-your-face religion. I don't respect Satan. I don't tolerate Satan. And I think you're nuts if you respect or tolerate Satan.
You know,
this is the truth regarding this religion of Islam, or bondage to Satan.
Well, you know, here in America, here in America,
go ahead,
we are being taught to tolerate this religion of the devil, of hell itself. We are being taught to bow down to it, and the media is a very powerful instrument, as you very well know. And people are walking around now in great defense of Satan, of his Bible, of his word, the Quran, and of the whole idea of the sacredness of a mosque, which has no sacredness. But talking about that slaughter of in Africa and the nation you just made mention of, Brother Searcy, I think people need to know, as you are now speaking, that with Islamic control of this nation, which can happen in a couple of years completely, unless the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood stops it. Many people that are here in America right now will find themselves slaughtered by Muslims for the very color of their skin and the texture of their hair. The ones that are now promoting tolerance.
And something maybe you can explain to me, something I never have been able to understand. Do you realize there would have been no black slaves taken out of Africa if it wasn't for Muhammad and his religion of Islam? How can black people embrace this religion?
Brother
Searcy? How can it be?
Brother Searcy,
I don't understand this.
I've taught that year after year. It started in Mali, and Timbuktu was a trading place, and the Muslims marched, gathered slaves in ropes and chains, and marched them for hundreds of miles all across Africa to the slave ships. They started it. They were the ones that kept it going. And
absolutely.
And black people know this. They know it. They know it. Yet they still reverence Islam.
My mind. It must be, it's got to be demonic.
It is, and it has this demonic power. I mean, it goes at the deep darkness that an evil that's in me, and I'm going to be dealing with that tonight, Brother Sister. I'm going to be dealing with that spirit tonight. I know that I will be victorious, and not because of my own individual strength, but I trust the power of the blood of Jesus. But go ahead with what you were saying in terms of explaining.
Let's teach the saints scattered abroad who are hearing us now. Let's teach them the Koran in a matter of minutes.
All right.
Better than the teachers of Islam themselves.
We got 2 minutes before the news break. We have 2 minutes, Brother Sir.
All right. Let me just tell you this. The only section of the Koran which tells the true core beliefs of Satan's largest religion is Surah number 9. You can get a Koran online and you read Surah number 9, and that is Islam. Because the religion of Islam, there is this principle of abrogation, which says that all the verses Allah gave Muhammad are true, but Allah gave better verses later. So everything in the Koran abrogates to Surah number 9. It was the last surah written. And nothing in Surah number 9 can be abrogated away from. So all of the rest of the Koran is just to provide a basis for lies and deception and plausible deniability. If you know what Surah number 9 says, you know what the Koran really says. And all other surahs abrogate to that surah, and nothing of that Surah number 9 can be abrogated because it's the last one of them all. In Islam, the Allah God gave better verses later. You see how that's a setup for making the Koran say whatever they wanted to
right.
say at the time.
Absolutely.
Now you have to remember, the only way that the Muslim can please his Allah God is by whatever is decent or moral doing a 180 on it. The God of Islam is pleased when the Muslim deceives the non-Muslim. The God of Islam is pleased when the Muslim steals from the non-Muslim. The God of Islam is pleased when the Muslim enslaves the non-Muslim. The God of Islam is pleased when the Muslim kills the non-Muslim. These poor people, they don't know anything else.
Brother Searcy, that is the absolute truth. It's in
you know, they get all upset about somebody in Florida wanting to burn some Korans. How many Bibles do you think are allowed in Saudi Arabia? It's a death penalty offense in Saudi Arabia if you get caught with a Bible. How many synagogues? How many churches? How many Buddhist temples or Hindu temples, for that matter, do you find in Saudi Arabia? Zero. Zip. Nada. Not a one. And they want us to respect them. They are trying to build a mosque at ground zero
to
celebrate the great Muslim jihad victory, just like a dog marking his territory.
Gotta take a break. I'll be right back.
One and all through the time.
All right, we're back with the Manning Report in the second very powerful hour of an extremely informative, God-ordained broadcast here today. So delighted that you've logged on. We have our very special guest, Brother Jim Searcy from the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean, who's with us today. He's going to be with us for the next few moments. And he was with us earlier this morning with the Republic Broadcasting Network at our 10 a.m. broadcast. And Brother Searcy, biblically, I can kind of think about what Paul did when he took his son Titus and sent him out to the island of Crete, which is just across the water from Cyprus. And he told Titus, I'm sending you to Crete to put in order those things that are found wanting. Get everything straightened out there. And those are the strict words of the great apostle Paul to his son in the ministry, Titus. And now we've got Brother Jim Searcy, who's now in Cyprus, not too far from the Isle of Crete, and certainly setting in order those things that are found wanting worldwide. Welcome back, Brother Searcy. You were talking of a very powerful, I waited to the last second to interrupt you, talking about how the tolerance level of Islam being promoted and touted by people here in America, that we can coexist with this satanic cult. But yet, if you go to any of the Arabian nations, Islamic nations, especially Saudi Arabia, you won't find any signs of Christianity in terms of churches or Bibles. And it was a very powerful point. I had to interrupt you. I'm going to open the microphone up for you again now to continue teaching us about this awful work of the devil that has come to our shores.
Well, there may be perhaps a Muslim listening to us now and says, you hate Muslims. They don't know us at all. Betty and I have put our life on the line every day to put the gospel right into the hands of these poor people who have never had a chance to hear it. We've got the Epistle of 1 John and the first four chapters of Hebrews in 22 different languages of the Muslims, and we put it right in their hand. We love them. We want to love them and do the duty of love, which is to give them the truth. They're in bondage to Satan. And how can we say we love them if we don't try to set them free from that bondage? And the only way out of bondage is the truth. So if you think this is hate speech, then you don't love the truth, and you don't know that the most antichrist thing anybody can do is tolerate Satan's religion of Islam. The most unloving thing anybody can do is tolerate or respect Satan's largest religion.
And amen goes right there. Oh, you only have 30 seconds in this segment, Brother Searcy, to have the break, and we'll be back with a little bit longer segment. But go ahead. You got another couple of seconds.
Well, it's just these poor people are bound in Satan's largest religion, and they need the gospel. And,
well, I would like to say as well, and we'll talk about this in the next segment behind this break, but you're right, I'm glad you raised that as a point, because a Muslim listening now could think that we hate Muslims, or a Muslim sympathizer could think the very same thing. And nothing could be further from the truth. I'd like to see them all come to the saving power of the blood of Jesus and confess him as Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I stand firm on that as an evangelist to Islam, but I also stand firm against the power of Satan. We'll be back in just a moment. Amen. With more of Jim Searcy. All right, my friends, it was 19 years ago today that Almighty God commissioned me to preach righteousness. And if you look in the Bible, you'll see that word righteousness is all over the place. However, I have to tell you, a number of people, after hearing me make such statements as I'm making now, confessed to me that they had not heard very much righteous preaching from the Bible. They were more familiar with the word of prosperity than they were of the word righteousness. Prosperity may appear once or twice throughout the whole holy text, but righteousness is all over the place. And God commissioned me 19 years ago on September the 14th, 1991, that I should go through and fro this land known as Harlem, preaching to the people that righteousness will deliver them from poverty, from brokenness, from hatred, from indifference, from poor performing schools. Righteousness will help clear out the hospitals and build a great nation. Righteousness on the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, Today is the day of celebration. The celebration gets started tonight at the Outlaw World Missionary Church. But I got to tell you, we have been upstaged of what we're planning on doing tonight by the appearance of Brother Jim Searcy this morning, and the explanation of the mojo, the two prophets walking locked arm, the false prophets walking in hell locked arm in arm, Joseph Smith and Muhammad, the prophet of the false god Allah. And the teachings that we're getting now is just, I mean, I see this as the power of God on the 14th of September here with Brother Jim Searcy. I give God the praise. And I'm sure all the listeners and people who know about the vision and the word that God's given to me for this community are in full agreement that this is God's way of certifying and ordaining his prophecy and his teaching about righteousness and his precious blood today with Jim Searcy. Brother Searcy, I didn't mean to take up so much time. We only have 5 minutes left, and then we're going to have to let you go. But I had to get my 2 cents worth in on that matter of the confirmation. Your voice, your spirit, your wisdom is a confirmation today, and I give God the praise for that.
Hallelujah. Well, let's do a real quick contrast between Allah and Yahweh, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that. If there's time, we'll compare the prophet of Islam, Muhammad, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's just look at a contrast between Allah and God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Allah was created by Muhammad in the 7th century A.D. Yahweh created heaven and earth before there was time. Allah is the God of Islamic people, and Yahweh is the one true God of all, and creator and owner of the fullness of heaven and earth. Allah is the God of the Koran, and Yahweh is the God of the Holy Bible. Allah is the God of hate, and Yahweh is the God of love. Allah is the God of vengeance, and Yahweh is the God of forgiveness. Allah needs his people to fight for him. Yahweh fights for his people. He can fight his own battles, and he'll fight for his people.
Praise God.
Allah can lie. Allah can lie. Yahweh cannot lie.
Cannot lie.
Allah is capricious and unknowable. Yahweh is trustworthy and does not change, and honors his word above his name, and desires that we come to know him as our Father. Allah has no savior. Yahweh gives free salvation through the blood sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Allah might give salvation by our works. Yahweh offers salvation as a free gift of his grace through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Allah has no mediator. Yahweh gives Yeshua, Jesus, as the one and only mediator between God and man. Allah does not talk to people. Yahweh communicates with his people. Allah gives no way to be certain of eternal life, and Yahweh gives absolute certainty of eternal life. Allah is the moon god. Yahweh is the creator of heaven and earth. Allah is the god of war, and Yahweh is the god of peace. Allah is the god of bondage, and Yahweh is the god of freedom. Allah is the god of religion, and Yahweh is the God of relationship, that we would know God as our Father. Allah commands murder of infidels. Yahweh forbids murder of anyone. Allah permits 4 wives, except Muhammad could have 23 wives and innumerable concubines. And Yahweh forbids adultery. Allah allows no certainty of eternal life, and Yahweh gives absolute certainty of eternal life. Allah calls for a walk in the flesh, and Yahweh calls for a walk in the spirit. Allah is concerned with the outward appearance, and Yahweh is concerned with obedience from the heart. Allah says the 6th day is holy, and Yahweh says the 7th day is holy. Allah is also known as the moon god. He was known as the moon god of Arabia for 1,000 years before Muhammad was born. He is none other than Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And Yahweh is also known as the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, God Almighty, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just a quick comparison. Maybe we're out of time. I could give you a comparison like that for Muhammad and the Lord Jesus Christ. but somewhere
I would recommend to everybody to get
a printout in the King James of Hebrews chapter 1 and have it in your hip pocket. You get a chance to share some scripture with the Muslim. Give them what God says, what the true God says in Hebrews chapter 1.
What a blessing. What a very powerful analogy. What an extraordinary comparison. We're going to post this up on YouTube, Brother Searcy. I pray it will work well, that we've got it taped the appropriate way. And we're going to do a number of things with all of the revelation teaching that you have done here today on the broadcast. It's been absolutely incredible.
Well, there's several topics about Islam on the website. And then Mormons, it's just www.moreshoreword.com/mormons.html. And they can learn everything real quick about what Mormonism and Glenn Beck and the spirits behind him are all about.
We thank you so very much for taking the time to spend this this hour with us today. And you got a few moments. You got 3 minutes left. If there's anything else you want to say, I'll step back and just let you talk. We have three.
Well, I'd just like to read Hebrews chapter 1 in case there is a Muslim listening.
Go ahead. I'm here.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, and therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus Christ died on that cross of Calvary. His mother was right there. Muhammad, are you trying to tell me that a mother didn't know her own son? Don't tell me that wasn't Jesus. His mother was standing right there. And so was Mary Magdalene. And so was the Apostle John. John saw when the spear went in and pierced the pericardium, splitting his heart, and the blood and water ran out. You think John, Muhammad, tell me that John didn't know Jesus? You liar! You liar! You liar! Go to hell! Well, you're in hell. Muhammad's in hell. If you want to go to hell, just read your Quran, Surah number 1971. Every Muslim is going to hell. You read it. There is no Muslim expositor ever anywhere that says there is any way out or any way around what Surah number 1971 says. Every Muslim is going to hell. You need to get out of Satan's bondage. You need to find somebody who knows Jesus, and you get to know him. And then, if they're going to kill you, this is what I tell the Muslims that come to faith in Jesus, if they're going to kill you, they'll come through me first. And I don't have to fight for my God. My God, if it's time for the Muslim to cut my neck, my duty is to hug his.
Boy, wow. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Brother
Thurston.
We love
you and all the saints of Atla, and you're in our prayers, and just keep on keeping on.
Please give people your website address once again before we make our departure
here
today.
The Great Joy and Great Tribulation website is just simply www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, M-O-R-E-S-U-R-E-W-O-R-D, www.moreshoreword.com. And we just thank God for you, brother, and all the saints there. Keep on just stay in the Word. Everything is going to be all right. You just stay in the Word. Just be strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word, and everything is going to be all right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Thank
Shalom,
you for
brother.
Such truth. Shalom as well. Thank God for the fellowship today of Brother Jim Searcy. And, of course, there are a number of his postings on our website at Outlaw Media Network. For the last year, he has been posting sermons and various teachings, and you can go there and get them. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back on this glorious day.